And now I just wanted to open the Word of God in Isaiah 40 first. And I will read from verse 25 to verse 31. And there we read, "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? He brings out their host by number, or by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall be exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And the other part I want to read is Matthew 11, from verse 25. There we read, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, that for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When this morning I saw all the songs coming by, I was really amazed and impressed, because it fits very well with what I'm going to say. So yeah, I can see that God is guiding us in every single way. I want to start off with a question. Does anybody know how many stars there are in our galaxy, the Milky Way? I looked it up on Wikipedia. And it says that there are 400 billion stars in our galaxy, and there are about 170 billion galaxies. So do your math and multiply them, and you find a vast number. And this is important, for we read in verse 26 of Isaiah, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, all these stars. He brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." There's not one star missing. The Lord calls them and he knows them all. And just for comparison, on the earth there live about 7 billion people, which is about 57 times less than the stars in our galaxy, which he knows all by name. So, we should never ever think that the Lord would forget us. Lift your eyes on high, see the stars, and remember that God remembers you. And when we have seen this, then verse 27 is quite obvious. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?" He doesn't forget a single one of the stars, let alone his special people. Israel was scattered throughout the world, invisible for man, and still the Lord says, I haven't forgotten you. So whatever we are going through, wherever we are, the Lord has never forgotten us. Verse 28 reads, have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or go weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We are forgetful. We need reminders. But the Lord does not forget us. And he is willing to talk to us, to keep talking to us. He will never stop talking to his children. And the Lord is the everlasting God. The Lord means, I am who I am. He doesn't change, and he doesn't change his mind. He knows what we are like as his children, and he still loves us. He is the creator of the earth. See the splendor. The big mountains, the rivers, the forests, but also tiny insects, every single cell in our bodies. He pays attention to every detail and looks after every detail. God does not grow weary. Nothing can make him weary. Not even we, when we would feel 1,000 times, 10,000 times, he doesn't grow weary. His love is steadfast. He doesn't change. His understanding is unsearchable. He knows everything. Whatever we go through, whatever problem we have, he knows. And what's more, he knows how to deal with it. And with Christmas, we celebrate that the Lord God himself, great God, has come down to earth. Through Christ, God is Emmanuel. God is with us. Our God, who is everlasting, who never grows weary, who never faints. He is with us in every situation we can be in. I read again verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. If our relationship with God is all right, then this verse, in a way, mirrors our life. We find nothing but failure in ourselves. We grow weary, we do the wrong things sometimes, and so on and so on. But we find endless grace in God through Christ. Endless grace, for God is endless. On the cross, Jesus proclaimed, it is finished, it is perfect, it is done. All grace we could ever need has been paid for by him. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it reads that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 to 31, some of these blessings are mentioned and also are dependent on God's grace. It says, he, God the Father, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus. We have eternal life in him. Whom God the Father made our wisdom. He knows everything, and he wants to tell us everything we need to know. Christ is our righteousness. In Christ, I am as righteous before God as Jesus is. He is our sanctification in Christ. I am as holy before God as Christ is. And he is our redemption. God has set us free in Jesus from every power of sin in our lives. And he's still working in our lives to set us free further every day. And verse 31 says, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And this is connected to verse 30 and 31 in Isaiah. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Basically, this is the same, that it warns us not to trust in our own power or abilities. We will definitely not be able to live a life that is pleasant to God in our own power. That's impossible. But by the endless grace of God, I can walk in His ways, enjoying His presence. Not that I always feel it, but I can stand on the foundation of the true Word of God. He is faithful, and He is with me, right here, right now, regardless what the situation is. And He can handle every situation. He's got all power and all wisdom. He knows everything and He can do everything. He can handle the situation. And that is basically lifting my eyes on high, further than the stars, to God and wait for Him. To remind myself of who God is and to make a choice to commit everything to Him, whatever situation I'm in. And then there are some questions. Do we spend time walking around for, say, in nature, being amazed by the splendor we see, seeing God in that, the amazing character of God? And are we amazed by who He is, by how He presents Himself? And do we look to the stars sometimes and remember He calls them all by name and He doesn't forget a single one of them? Neither will He forget me. Do we show that we know God, His endless power, wisdom, and grace, by committing everything into His hands? And I'll come back to that. And what did Jesus say about all this? Well, we've read Matthew 11 from verse 25. And I'll make some connections. Again, our abilities will not be sufficient to live in God's kingdom, to know about it. And two, walking with the Lord in His power will give us rest, will give us peace, strength, grace, everything we need. I will read verse 25 to 27 again. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." We have already seen that our power and abilities are not sufficient to live in God's ways, and neither is our knowledge or our own wisdom. We don't know anything about God's kingdom by ourselves. It's only through revelation. And that's what God wants to give us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to give us wisdom and insight. And do we go to God as little children, asking Him all our questions, reading His Word, listening to Him? Are we amazed about God's wisdom? And are we obedient to Him? Obedient to our Heavenly Father, who really can do everything, and who really knows everything? Or do we think that we know enough by ourselves? Verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Whatever bothers us, let's bring it to Jesus. He knows how to deal with it. And then there's a question again. Have we already come to Jesus? Have we already accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior? Have we given Him full authority over our lives? Just remember, God does not grow weary. No matter what has gone wrong, no matter how far you are away, the Lord is waiting for you. And if you haven't come to Christ yet, then I beg you that you come to Him right now. And what's more, God implores you to come to Him. And if you don't believe me, that's fine. Read the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 to 21, it says that Paul is imploring on behalf of God that people who haven't come to Christ yet will come to Him. Right there, right then, right now. God has given His Son for us to forgive our sins, to reconcile us to Himself and to save us from hell. And all we need to do is come to Him and receive Him. And when we have done that, we are a new creature. We have been born again. And then a few verses who have puzzled me for a long time until I understood it. We read again, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I never understood it until I saw the Greek word for yoke. Because Jesus uses an image of those days. The Greek word for yoke here is tsugon. And it is a yoke for two oxen. Not a single yoke, it's a double one. And this is the situation, the image. The oxen were used to plow the land. So there were two oxen next to each other, the plow behind it, and they were just walking to plow the land. And if a young ox had to learn how to do this, it would be put under this yoke next to an experienced ox that knew everything about it. And there are three implications I want to mention from this image in relationship with how we walk with the Lord. First of all, the experienced ox determined the pace or the speed. Jesus knows our limits. And he won't rush us. And he will never give us something to carry without carrying it together with us. Second, the experienced ox determined the direction. Jesus knows what the best decision is. He is God. He is all wisdom. And we need to ask Him what the best direction is. And third, the experienced ox determines the height or the attitude. If the young ox would lift itself, the yoke would push it down. If we humble ourselves and become more Christ-like, the yoke will be easy and the burden will be light. Because if I was this high and I would be higher than Jesus, then the yoke would push on me, wouldn't it? But if Jesus is this high and I am this high, who is carrying the burden then? Jesus is. And that's what he's talking about. And it also functions the other way around. If the yoke is not easy and the burden is not light, something might be wrong. We might be working in our own power, our own wisdom. We might be walking too fast, or we might be slow. We might have ignored some of his directions or not listened to him. But maybe the most important part is that of our attitude. We might have refused to have ourselves humbled by the Lord. We might have been refusing to forgive somebody or to accept his directions, etc. So if you feel that way, maybe it's a good thing to examine yourself before the Lord and see what is going on. And ask him for it, because he knows and he does not grow weary. He wants to tell you. And he wants to give you all grace to deal with it. To conclude, I have incorporated three points in my teaching. Steve tells them at the beginning always. I do it at the end. We are weak people. But the Lord our God is endless in power, in wisdom, in mercy, and He gives us endless grace in Christ. And third, the more we learn to know the Lord our God, and the more we learn who we are, the more we will learn to live a dependent life. We will be dependent on God, but it will be full of grace, and it will be full of the presence of the Lord. And I want to conclude with a few verses of 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, which basically summarizes this. And he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Know who God is and surrender to Him in trust, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. He will lift you up and He will give you grace and strength and a testimony of His great deeds during the hardships." And how do we humble ourselves? It is in verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on Him. So we come to the Lord. "Lord, this is my anxiety. I'm anxious about this. But I give it to You to deal with it. And I trust You that You will show me the way. That You will give me the strength. You will do everything that is needed." And why can we cast all our anxieties on Him? It's in the last few words. Because He cares for you. So, we are going to split up at a certain time, but the Lord will be with us in every situation. Look up to the stars. Remember that no single star is forgotten by God, and neither are we. Amen.